Last week we considered the man who is too busy. We're looking at Bible portraits of modern men. And we looked at the man last week who is busy here and there, except with the great essential of his heart. He's the man who neglects the priority of salvation. He makes himself busy about everything else except spiritual things. His language is always, "I don't have time for religion." Well, the man who does not have time for God will have an eternity without him. The man who is simply too busy to think about God and to think about his soul and to think about eternity, he's busy here and there. But tonight I want to cross literally the other side of the fence, and I want to consider the man who is not busy enough. It was this kind of man Solomon met one day as he was taking a walk through the country. He came across a field that was overgrown with thorns and nettles. The stone wall was broken down, and he concluded that this field belonged to a slothful man, a man who had not been busy enough, a man who had become idle, a man who had been lazy regarding the cultivation of his field. If it is possible to be too busy, it is also possible to be not busy enough, to be slothful and idle. Now, idleness, of course, is a great scourge. It's a scourge to any individual life. A man that is idle is a man who will lose out. You see how Solomon says in verse 34 concerning this idle man, this slumberer, that his poverty will come as one that traveleth. It'll come suddenly, unawares. But not only is it a scourge to the individual, it's a scourge to society in general. Idleness is something that can affect all ages of life, but especially it can affect the youth. Days of youth should be times of activity. It's times when the vitality of youthfulness is experienced, and that vitality ought to be employed and it ought to be used up. But the days of youth can become days of idleness. And a nation that allows its youth to squander their time lounging about will very quickly become a nation that is overgrown with weeds and thorns and thistles of every sort. Idleness should be frowned upon, and it should not be rewarded. But while Solomon's comments can be applied in this practical manner, his first and his primary application is to the heart, to the soul of man. Did you notice there in verse 30 that he describes this slothful man as a man void of understanding? It's not so much the outward that he's concerned about, it is the inward. It's the cultivation of his mind, the cultivation of his heart, the cultivation of his soul that he has neglected. He is a man empty, literally empty of understanding. He's a man who has not employed his mind. He has not put his mind to work. If it's a great scourge for men to be idle, in a physical sense, it is an even greater scourge for men to be idle in the area of their mind. The mind of man is a fascinating and wonderful part of man, but it's an area that requires work. It requires effort. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that much study is a weariness of the flesh. The occupation of the mind, when we employ our mind to study and to understand and to know, it brings weariness. It's hard work. The work of the mind is often more tiring than the work of the hands. It's not uncommon to hear of young people in the midst of youthful vitality crashing out simply because of the exhaustion of study. Study is the employment of the mind, employing the mind in order to improve the mind. But alas, Solomon speaks of the man who does not use his mind. He's void of understanding. He doesn't want to use his mind. He doesn't want to think because it's too much hard work. It's too much effort. It was a problem then. Solomon faced it. And what was a problem then is just as much a problem now. Idleness is a snare to every generation. And alas, we have, in our modern Western culture, we have developed a society that is really focused on entertainment. And the entertainment culture is a culture of sitting back and not having to put your mind to work, sitting back to be entertained just as long as you don't have to think. Thinking is too much hard work. I looked up the definition of entertainment in the dictionary and I was quite amazed. It means to be amused. And when I looked up amused, it means to find diversion or light occupation. That's what the English Oxford Dictionary says. Those that are given to amusement and entertainment, they are being diverted by light occupation. They don't want to tax their mind, their thinking process. And this is very much an entertainment age. And the sad thing is that entertainment has crept into the church. And many churches have gone down the road of being entertainment centers. The people want to come in, they want to get a high, as it were, a buzz, but they do not want to tax their minds thinking. Because thinking and study is too much hard work. How sad it is. And Solomon shows us here that the result will always be thorns and thistles and nettles. The man who is not busy enough, the man who is void of understanding, the man who does not employ his mind to learn the truth and to find out what God has required of him. I want us to consider this picture tonight that Solomon paints. And I want us to look at it and glean some lessons that we can apply to ourselves. I want you to notice here in the first place that Solomon is telling his son and therefore telling us that a man's heart will always produce some kind of fruit. A man's heart will always produce some kind of fruit. Here he is, he's passing by this field, and in this field all he finds is thorns and briars and weeds, but he has found something. Now that field that he passed by had the potential to produce meaningful and purposeful crops. Crops that could have fed the owner, crops that could have fed his neighbors, that could have brought great benefit to others. But instead it brought forth a produce that was only fit for burning. Thorns and thistles and nettles. It is a parable of our lives. Our lives, your life and my life, are yielding fruit. Is yielding fruit. We will all yield some kind of fruit. Now the fruit will either be good fruit or it will be bad fruit, evil fruit. Good and wholesome or else it will be evil. But there is no neutrality. We will either bring forth fruit unto God in a life that is pleasing to Him, or we will bring forth fruit, the fruit of a life that is offensive to God, a life that does not please Him. There's no neutrality here. This field was bringing forth fruit. It could either bring forth good fruit or else it could bring forth evil fruit. It's a picture of our lives. It's a picture of our heart. Our heart is producing something, and what it produces is either good in the sight of God or evil in the sight of God. The sluggard here, the slothful man, did nothing regarding his field, yet it still produced fruit. He didn't go out and plow up the ground and break up the fallow ground and then sow the seed. He did nothing of that kind. He did absolutely nothing concerning this field of his, but it still brought forth fruit. It still produced fruit. A man may never give his mind to ponder the great need of salvation. He may never once think about God or think about eternity. He may never once turn his thoughts to eternal things. But although he is idle in his mind, his life will still produce fruit. His life will be overgrown with the thorns of sin and the weeds of iniquity. We're going through the epistle of Paul to Timothy. And I was reading ahead just a little, and I was struck with something that is of great parallel with this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. He's speaking here about younger widows. And he says about them in verse 13 that they learn to be idle. They learn to be idle, slothful. But that idleness is also associated with great activity. The idleness that Paul is talking about here is in relation to the Lord. It's in relation to serving God and working for Him and doing something that's meaningful and purposeful. He's saying they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies. It's a paradox. On the one hand, they are idle, but on the other hand, they're busy. They're idle in the things of God, but they're busy in the things that they should not be involved in. You see, the lesson is that our lives are always producing some kind of fruit, either good or evil. We will either be active for God, or else, if we are idle, the devil will give us some activity to be involved in for him. Our lives, you see, man's heart will always produce some kind of fruit. Now the second lesson is this. Man's heart left to itself will only produce evil fruit. This slothful man decided to take things easy, to do no work in his field. And the result was thorns and thistles. He would have been an even greater fool if he had thought to himself that his field required no work. If he thought that the field would naturally by itself bring forth a crop of wheat or a crop of potatoes. What a fool he would have been if he had thought that. If he'd have thought to himself, well, I don't need to do anything. There's that field and I'll just sit back here. The sun will shine, the rain will fall, and that field will bring forth a nice crop of wheat. And I don't need to do anything. What a fool that man would have been. You would rightly be entitled to call him a fool if he thought that. The field left to itself without any cultivation, without the planting of any good seed, brought forth only thorns and nettles and weeds, because these were already in the ground. They required no planting. They were already there. The ground is a very thought-provoking illustration of man's heart, of man's nature. The heart of man left to itself will only bring forth sin. It cannot bring anything else forth but sin. The Bible teaches that the heart of man is sinful. Wicked. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You cannot bring anything good out of an unclean thing, the Bible says. And the heart of man left to itself will only bring forth fruit that is evil. You know, the point is illustrated in children. Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, he said to fathers that they were to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition there is a very interesting word. In the Greek, it literally means to put into the mind. The truth of God, the word of God, the things of God have to be put into the mind of the child. Because if you leave a child to itself, to its own nature, that child will not bring forth good fruit. It will soon bring forth the weeds of dishonesty, the weeds of rebellion, the weeds of idleness. Because that's the nature of the child. A child is not honest naturally. A child has to be taught to be honest. You have to put that seed into the child. A child has to be taught to be obedient because obedience is not something that's natural to the child. It has to be put in. I like what Spurgeon says. He tells an illustration which is very interesting. He says, "Have you never heard of one who said he did not teach his children the ways of God because he thought they were so young that it was very wrong to prejudice them, and he'd rather leave them to choose their own religion when they grew older? Well, one of the boys broke his arm, and while the surgeon was setting it, the boy was swearing all the time. 'Ah,' said the good doctor, 'I told you that would happen. You were afraid to prejudice your boy in the right way, but the devil had no such qualms. He has prejudiced him the other way, and pretty strongly too.'" You see, you've got to put those good seeds into the mind. Because the heart of man left to itself will only produce evil fruit. The thorns of sin. And what is true of children is true of adults. A man left to himself, to his own nature, will only bring forth the fruit of sin. But let's look at a third thought, and it's this. That this overgrown field was caused by squandered opportunities. Solomon looked at this field of the slothful man and he asked, how did it come to be? He discovered the answer. Verse 33, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." He realized that this overgrown state, this state of thorns and weeds and thistles, had come about because this slothful man chose to waste and to squander the opportunities that he had. Perhaps one day when he rose, it was too cold. It was raining. The wind had whipped up quite a storm, and so he decided to stay indoors. He thought, this is not the day for cultivating the field. But the next day when he arose, the wind had calmed, the rain had gone, and the sun was shining, but it was too hot for him. And he thought, I'll leave it till another day. And then when the weather was just fine, when the weather was right, it wasn't too cold and it wasn't too hot, the weather was just perfect, he decided that he would sit down and just have a little sleep, just a little sleep. He was only intending to sleep for a little time. But all the time he was wasting the opportunity to break up the ground, plant the seed, and instead of good seed producing good fruit, instead the seeds of thorns were secretly growing all the time. This state came about because he neglected the opportunities that he had. He wasted the opportunities. And so it is with life and with the heart of man. The thorns of sin grow in a man's heart and in his life. When the opportunities to enlighten the mind and to bring the heart under gospel influences are squandered. We are breeding a slothful generation today. A generation that does not want to think or to exercise their mind. And consequently, it is no surprise to find the young generation lounging in bed on a Sunday morning instead of being in the house of God under the influence of the Word of God. But remember what Solomon says here. A little sleep, a little slumber, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. You see, when men and women, when young people squander the opportunities to be instructed in the things of God, to be taught the truth, when they squander those opportunities, all the time, the seeds of sin are taking deeper root within their hearts. And it is only a matter of time before those evil thorns manifest themselves. And remember in the parable of the sword and the seed that the thorns choked what good seed was there. It came about because of squandered opportunities. You look at a young man, a young woman, who ends up pierced by the thorns of life. And you have to say to yourself, that young man, that young woman, squandered the opportunity to be brought under the influence of the Word of God. This field was overgrown because of squandered opportunities. But let's look at a fourth point, and it's this. Men are entirely responsible for the thorns of sin which grow in their own hearts and in their own lives. Solomon surveyed the field of the slothful man, and he laid the blame of this condition clearly at the feet of the sluggard. There was no one responsible but the slothful man himself. He had failed to tend to his field. He had failed to weed it. He had failed to sow what was good. He had failed to tend to it. You must remember that this field that Solomon is talking about was part of the land that God gave by inheritance to Israel. When the Israelites went into the land of promise, God told them to divide the land up between their tribes. And then each man within the tribe was given a specific portion of ground given to him by the Lord. And that gift which the Lord gave to him laid upon that man the responsibility to look after it, to till the land, to work the land so that it might produce fruit for his own family and also for others. That gift brought responsibility. In fact, when you study the laws of agriculture that were given to Israel, you'll find when it came to the harvest time that they were told not to harvest the corners of the land because the corners were to be left for the poor that they might glean. And you remember the beautiful story of Ruth, how she was gleaning in the fields of Boaz at the time of the harvest. God gave the land, and in giving the land, he was laying upon the person the responsibility to tend to the land that it might benefit himself, his family, and those who were round about us. You know, it's God's purpose. It's God's will in giving us our life, in giving us our existence, that our life shall bring forth fruit unto God that will benefit ourselves, our family, and our neighbors round about us. But you see, this man had neglected his responsibility. And the only person that he could blame for this overgrown state in his field was himself. He couldn't blame anybody else because he had failed in his responsibility. You know, some men wish to blame their sinful life. They wish to blame all the thorny consequences that come upon everyone and anyone else but themselves. They even go as far as blaming God. They look at all the thorns that have pierced them in life and they do not stop for one moment to consider that they themselves are responsible for those thorns. They blame God. But you know, if a man sins, there's only one person responsible, and that's the man himself. If a man perishes, he cannot blame anyone else for his own perdition. If he chooses to neglect salvation, if he turns his mind away from the call of God and the gospel, if he will not hearken and consider his latter end and seek to get right with God, then if he perishes, he has no one to blame but himself. He has chosen to disobey the gospel command to repent of sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This slothful man could not blame his neighbor for the state of his own field. He could not blame his friends. He could not blame Solomon the king. Nor could he blame God. The responsibility rested upon his own head. He had been slothful in tending to his field. He had neglected not only the opportunities given to him by God, but the responsibility that God had laid upon his shoulders. You know, God commands all men everywhere to repent. It is man's responsibility to turn from his sin and to seek the Savior whom God has provided in the person of his own dear Son. That is man's responsibility to repent and to believe. And if a man perishes, it is because he has chosen to neglect that responsibility. But I want you to notice one final thought here tonight. I want you to see, as Solomon surveyed this field of the slothful man, the man who was not busy enough, I want you to notice that he made the application to himself. As he looked at this field, he did not sneer at the man. He did not condemn him and say, what a lazy dog he is. Nor did he pride himself on his own energy and compared to the sluggard's lack of it. But instead, he applied this to himself. Look what he says in verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. He didn't sneer at the man. He didn't exalt himself with pride and say, I'm not like him. He looked at this field overgrown and he applied it to himself. He asked, what does this teach me? And he saw how idleness and slothfulness of heart and mind soon led to the growth of many sins. We should do the same as Solomon tonight. It may well be, as we have looked at this passage, that you can visualize certain individuals who you think this fits, the description fits them. But when Solomon looked at this field, he applied it to himself. He said, this is something to teach me. Here is a snare that I must beware of. As we have been made to consider the man who is not busy enough, in the preparation of his own heart, the salvation of his own soul, let us consider ourselves. Let us apply it to our own hearts tonight. And ask the question, am I sleeping? Have I folded my hands to sleep? Am I slumbering in spiritual things, in eternal matters? Have I squandered opportunities? Have I neglected my responsibility towards God? It applies to every Christian tonight. We must ask ourselves, have we neglected the Lord? Did you notice here how the stone wall was broken down in verse 31? The stone wall was a defense to keep out the wild beasts, keep them away from the crop, from the vine. And God has called his people to erect stone walls to defend our heart from those many influences that would take us away from God and rob us of the spiritual blessing. Prayer is a stone wall. It's a wall of defense. Bible reading, Bible meditation, service for God. But tell me, is the stone wall broken down tonight? Just through idleness, through sloth? Do you read the Bible consecutively, consistently every day? Do you take time to pray? Or do you have to say tonight, I've been slumbering, I've been sleeping? And perhaps unknown, an enemy has come in and sown tares, and the thorns are secretly growing in the heart. Let us apply this to ourselves tonight. I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. But let me speak to you who are not saved. You who are not right with God. How you have been neglecting the great need of your soul. God commands you to repent and to trust his Son as your Savior. But yet you have neglected that responsibility and you have squandered the opportunities that God has given. And in your heart the thorns of sin are growing. And unless they are uprooted speedily, those thorns of sin will strangle you and they will pierce you through with many sorrows. They will plot for you a bed of thorns on which you must lie for all eternity. All because of sloth and idleness. The man who is not busy enough. You know what the Lord said to Zacchaeus? He said, make haste. Make haste and come down. For this day I must abide at thy house. And if there was any subject in life that you should be most urgent upon, it is the subject of salvation. This is a matter that you cannot neglect. You neglect to your peril. God says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. But seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. Seek the Lord. Make haste and come to Christ. Learn from the slothful man who did nothing. A man asks, what have I to do to perish? Do nothing. Do nothing. This slothful man did nothing, and his field was overgrown, grown with thorns and nettles. My friend, haste to Christ tonight, and be saved while there's time.